we could be enjoying all of them. Starting in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dwelt with us, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Perhaps the greatest benefit of all. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Recently, we were studying in our Sunday school lesson, I think it was just last Sunday, about church discipline in Thessalonians. And it's a comfort to know that the church will use discipline and perhaps even revoke membership, or in cruder terms, kick someone out if they have unrepentant sin. It's kind of comforting to know that they would do that to me, because they care about me. And it's a very necessary part of church life. But my experience has been more with being with a church, with a group of people who are committed to live a life that is pleasing to God and helping me to do so also. I think the church is one of the greatest benefits of the Lord that we can enjoy here while we're here. To me, the church is not as much the discipline part as it is a source of comfort in times of sorrow. It offers stability, encouragement, a place to get good advice. It's a place to go to be spurred on to good works, to be with other committed Christians, people you can depend on, people who think like you do, people who love God, people who pray for you. The attitude from the church to me is something like this: you look like a Christian to us, so join us, watch over us, and we will watch over you. Together we will move forward. The church is a community. The church is a great benefit. I'm going to tell you a story about armadillos, and hopefully we can draw a lesson from them. Here, several weeks ago, we had something going on in our garden. There was kind of a mess made. Just almost looked like pigs, but not quite as bad as a herd of pigs would be, rooting up stuff and making a mess and tracking. And we weren't quite sure what it was. We suspicioned it might be armadillos. And one morning, Jonas was there to go to work with us, and Jonas grew up where he was familiar with armadillos, and he knew right away what it was. He said, "That's armadillos." And then he asked if he could trap them, and I said, "Sure, be my guest." And so Jonas made a box trap out of wood. I saw it when it was all done, And he used some new wood. It was it stuck out very plainly. I mean, it wasn't camouflaged or disguised or anything. And he said, it's done. He's going to go trap armadillos. And I thought, good luck. I didn't have much faith. But he knew what he was doing, and he took that trap out and set it on a trail, didn't use any bait at all. And the next, there was a couple of mornings he didn't have anything. And then about the third morning, we were getting ready to go to work, and I heard loud yells from down by the timber, and I knew what had happened. Jonas had caught an armadillo. And sure enough, he had caught an armadillo in that box trap. And the way he did it was very unique. His box trap had a door at each end, and he set it right in the middle of the trail, didn't have any bait, and this armadillo came snuffling along there with his nose to the ground and probably watching the ground until he was right there. And then he looks up and he sees the box, but he also sees right through it, and so he just goes straight ahead and gets caught. The door slammed shut and he's caught. So he reset the trap, and altogether he caught four of them in the garden. Now, what's the moral that we can use from this story? The trap was open on both ends. Just because something looks good to us doesn't always mean it is okay. And I guess a more general one would be this. At least one of these armadillos found himself in a cooking pot full of hot water over a very hot fire. So if you don't pay attention to your path, you will end up in hot water. That's pretty general. But the one I want to really bring out is we can be just like that armadillo. We can notice something, or something gets our attention. It could be something we would like to have, or it could be something we would like to do. Something we don't see any danger in. But unlike the armadillo, we have friends that can steer us in the right direction. Our church friends, our peers, we can turn to them for advice. And that's one thing I appreciate about the church, is they always take time before they make changes. They're cautious and they take time. Now, this armadillo didn't even have any friends to help him. In fact, the last morning he caught one, there was another one on the outside trying to get in with him. So that was the worst kind of friend, I guess you might say. Sorry, Jonas. The Bible tells us to be cautious, to be wise, to be aware, to be diligent, to be alert, know what is going on. Take time to ask God. There's an old saying that goes, fools rush in where angels fear to trod. And that's what happens when we get in a hurry. Let's take time. Wait. Often it is good to wait. Now, we know the armadillos did not have the reasoning power to do this, and that's not what I'm pointing out. I'm just saying that we can. We do have the reasoning power. We do have the resources. And we have plenty of help available to help us be watchful of the things that pop up in our life. I think Arlen said it recently. I think it was Arlen. Enjoying the pleasures of sin is such a short time, and enjoying the pleasure of eternity with God is such a long time. And I think that's a good picture of our life here. To delay gratification. Self-discipline. Practice self-discipline. Forgo the pleasure of sin for a much greater reward. We know if we are faithful, something much better waits for us. I think it's important to teach our children self-discipline, teach them to be cautious, teach them to wait. I can often remember my parents would say, if we would want to do something, they'd say, just wait a little bit, just wait, just wait. And it was for no other reason than just simply take some time and to be cautious and, you know, make sure it's all right. And I appreciate that now very much. Teach them to forgo the pleasures of sin for a much greater reward. I came across this when I was studying. It's called the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment. Maybe some of you have read about it. It's the experiment they did at Stanford in the 60s by psychologist Walter Mischel. In these studies, a child of preschool age was offered a choice of one marshmallow, or if he waited 15 minutes, he could have two marshmallows. And they put this child in a room by himself or herself, sitting on a chair by a table with the marshmallow right in front of them, and explained to them, you know, very plainly what they could expect if they would not take the marshmallow. Test results showed that only approximately one-third would wait for the second marshmallow. Two-thirds of them gobbled up the marshmallow immediately. What would you do? It was interesting to see how they responded while they were waiting. Some children would cover their eyes with their hands or turn around so they could see the marshmallow. Others would start kicking the desk or tug on their hair or stroke the marshmallow as if it were a tiny stuffed animal. While others would just simply eat the marshmallow just as soon as the researchers left the room. Mischel found that those who deferred gratification were significantly more competent and received higher SAT scores than their peers, meaning that this characteristic likely influences a person for its whole life. And it also led to much less likely to be obese or have behavior problems. Now, I think this is a characteristic that can be developed. We can learn and acquire this. Also, it's not just something that we are either born with or born without. It's something that we can work on and teach to others and continue to learn ourselves if we are lacking in it. As we meditate on these benefits this morning, let's meditate on the benefits of the Lord and the church. Let's pray for the patience to run the race well, as the writer in Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We're thankful to you for again allowing this day, for allowing us to come together this way as a church to worship you, to learn what you have for us, that you can teach us more of the areas in our lives where we are undisciplined. Lord, we pray that you would help us to allow you to work your work in our lives. We pray for this service, the remainder of the day, that you would have your way with each one that has a part. Guide us and keep us in all truth. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Thank you.